Amen. So Luke chapter 18 is the opening verses that we studied last time we were together. Jesus teaches us a little bit about prayer, and he teaches us that we should pray persistently. We should not give up when we pray. When the answer doesn't come right away, we keep praying. Did you hear Brianna? Did you hear what she said tonight? I prayed, God didn't answer right away, and I got mad, angry, ticked off at God. But now that she's been more persistent, she's seen many miracles. Did they give you flowers for your baptism? Oh, so nice. What a small, great, great connect group. Yeah, so be persistent. And then the second thing Jesus teaches is humility in prayer, that we should not be proud or boastful, but we should be humble. And humility means we look to God for his power instead of trying to do life in our power. And then we come to an illustration of both persistence and humility as Jesus takes us into the presence of some children. And is anyone more persistent for asking for something than children? I'm a granddad now, and I was a dad. And they ask once, they ask twice, they just keep asking. And then humility. Children have this innate sense, this intuition that they know that they don't have the power, you have the power. And they are appealing to your power. That's humility. When we know that God has the power and we want his power working on our behalf. So here's the story of Jesus and the children in Luke chapter 18 as we start to read at verse 15. The people were bringing to Jesus, or brought to Jesus, infants. So these were the smallest of the small. This would be the people in this church that are in tiny town. They're in preschool. They're babies. They were bringing infants to him that he might touch them, really that he would bless them. Just like you brought your baby girl to the house to be blessed, rabbis in Jesus' day, famous rabbis, people wanted to bring their children to be blessed and by the presence of Jesus. And when you bring your baby today, you're doing exactly the same thing. When you bring your, you go, why would I bring my baby to church? Because every time you bring your baby to church, there's a blessing. I want you to know that. So there's an individual presence of Christ. Christ is in you everywhere you go. But there is a corporate presence of Christ, the body of Christ. So when you bring, sometimes you don't feel like bringing your kids and they're dragging their heels. When you bring them, there is a blessing simply in bringing them. And that's what these parents wanted. They wanted their children to be in the presence of Jesus. I grew up, my dad is here. It was not optional to come to church. It was voluntarily mandatory. There was no other option. And I'll tell you what, we used to have Sunday night church, and Sunday night church killed me. Because here's how Sunday night church went. Disney would start the Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday nights. And it was 1 hour. And 30 minutes into Disney, we had to leave for church. But look how good I turned out. I said that tongue in cheek. But we'll tell you, we brought our children. We believe that there's a blessing when you bring even little infants. So our little new granddaughter, Ellie, comes. Well, what good is it? I believe there's goodness. Because Jesus is here, the body of Christ in us. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I just said? You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, but we are the temple of God. So when we come together, there's something special. I would just say to moms, dads, grandchildren, bring your kids. And that's what they were doing, bringing them to church. But the disciples saw it, and we don't really know why. But they rebuked the parents, they rebuked the children for bringing them. Stop it. They said, stop bringing those children. But Jesus intervenes and he calls to them and he says, watch this. Let the little children come to me. I love that. Jesus is saying that right here, right now, for all the kids. Are there any kids in the house? Yeah, that's good. I'm going to tell you, we're going to get to it. There's a blessing in that childlikeness. The religious stuffy ones, no blessing for that. The kingdom of God is like that. Well, I'm too dignified. No. The little children were coming. Jesus said, oh no, let the little children come to me and do not forgive them. Why? Because that's what the kingdom of God is like. There should be less stuffiness and more childlikeness when we're together. Some of you are too stuffy even to clap. No, I'm serious. Jesus is trying to teach us. This is what the kingdom is like. This is why Jesus wants the children. The children were an example of humility. They were an example of persistence. They're an example of quick forgiveness. Children do not, like, if you ever watch children when they fight, they can be red hot in a fight and 30 seconds later be best friends. It only gets messed up if the adults get involved. If you just leave children, children laugh easily. When they're natural children, laugh easily. There should be a natural joy in your life. There should be a spontaneity in your life. There should be a fun. I believe it is a sin to be boring in church. Little children, like. So Jesus is just saying, hey, I want you to be more childlike. I want you to be less formal, less stuffy, less filled with religious pretension, because the kingdom of God is like children. Laugh a little bit more. Forgive a little more easily. Believe. Little children just believe. Tell them to pray, they pray. Your son just prays. Just prays. Just believes God. That's how we should be. And there should be a little more play. Nudge your neighbor. Say, he's talking about you. He is talking about you. Go ahead, tell him he is talking about you. Verse 17, for assuredly, I say to you, watch this. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. Now remember, in the audience of Jesus were the Pharisees. And the Pharisees believed that they earned their way into the kingdom of God by demonstrating how much blessing they had. So that was one reason why they were very materialistic, because the way you showed God's blessing in your life is you lived in the right neighborhood. You drove the right donkey. I'm sure there was status. I'm sure there was status in whatever you rode, or I'm sure there was status in the clothes, because that's what we do. And they believe that they had to be show their riches as a way of showing God's favor. Now, this thing about children, don't forget, children have no cash. None. I bet you if I asked you for money, you got none. No. Because they don't. So what Jesus is saying, hey, it's not about, get this, it's not about what you do to get in the kingdom of God. It's about understanding it. It's all out of your hands. You have a heavenly Father that brings you into the kingdom of God. It's not about being wealthy enough, having enough. It's about understanding you are a little kid and you need help. Childlike trust, childlike faith. And that's why that's the backdrop to the story that comes next about, watch this, the rich young ruler. Because Jesus has just said, hey, here's how you get in the kingdom of God. You come in with simple trust. You understand you don't have the power. You don't have the riches. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You need help. That's what children know. You need help. And when you come in with that attitude, you get the kingdom of God. But if you come in with a rich attitude, and now he's going to show an illustration. because Jesus is going to deal with a ruler, a Pharisee, a ruler in the synagogue, a rich, wealthy ruler who hears Jesus say, you've got to become childlike to come into the kingdom of God. And here's his question. Now, a certain ruler asked Jesus, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus had just said, you want eternal life? You want to be in the kingdom of God? Enter it like a child. How do the children enter Christ's presence? He just said this, come. And they came to him. So he had just done that. Because here's what the rich young ruler is doing, what some of us do. There's got to be something more. There's got to be something I do to earn the kingdom of God. I've got to be good enough. I've got to work hard enough. I've got to do something to inherit the kingdom of God. So he hears Jesus say, you've got to come in like a child. He goes, it can't be that easy. What do I have to do? What do I have to do? And Jesus kind of avoids his question, and he just makes a statement. And he says, well, why are you calling me good? There's no one that's good except God. Now, why did Jesus do? He gets a question, how do I get eternal life? And he says, okay, why did you call me good? Because in Jesus' day, they didn't call religious teachers good. Good was saved for God. God is good. They would agree. God is good. But they didn't call each other, hey, good. Now, when Jesus said that, he was saying, either you believe that I am God, or you're just flattering me with words. Now, we know that the rich young ruler did not believe that Jesus was God, because when Jesus asks him to do something, he says no, and you don't say no to the Lord. But Jesus very clearly is saying, I'm either good and God, or I'm not good and I'm not God. When people tell me that Jesus didn't know his divinity, didn't know that he was the divine Son of God, didn't say he was the divine Son of God, I point to verses like this. Jesus knows, hey, I'm God. That's why you called me good. I know it. Do you know it? Or just with the story before, if you turn back a page, remember when the lepers were healed and there were 10 of them and one of them came back to say thank you? And Jesus said, why has only one returned to give glory to God? Remember that? Well, the one that returned came back to Jesus. He was giving glory to God by thanking Jesus. The other nine, if it was just, the other nine could have said thank God on their way. But Jesus said, no, this one has come back to give glory. Glory to God. What about when Jesus said, hey, when you see me, you see the Father? Or he said this, I and the Father are one. Jesus was very much in tune that he was the divine Son of God. The rich young ruler doesn't really believe it, but he's kind of buttering Jesus up. And Jesus says, okay, you want to know about eternal life? Do you know the commandments? And he quotes some of the commandments, not all of them. He doesn't even do all the 10. He says, hey, don't commit adultery. Guy says, no, I haven't done that. Don't murder, okay, I haven't done that. Don't steal, no, I haven't done that. Don't lie, don't bear false witness, no, I haven't done that. Honor your father and your mother, okay, don't do that. Now notice the ones he left out, which were the ones the rich young ruler really had a trouble with, like don't covet. The root of coveting is greed. I want stuff, I want material goods. He didn't say that one. Or do not have any graven images. Don't make any idols. This guy's material goods or riches had become an idol to him. He didn't even say that. So the guy is like nodding his head. Okay, check, that's good. Check, that's good. Okay, check, that's good. Okay, I'm good. In fact, he says that to God. Okay, it's not just about being childlike, God. Obviously, I have to do some things, and I have been a very good boy. I have worked hard. I've kept these. He says, I've kept these since I was young. Verse 21, all these things that you just said, I've kept since I was a young man. So when Jesus heard that he had kept them, he says, watch this. You, verse 22, you still lack one thing. Now, I promise you, he lacked more than one thing. I promise you, he did. There was one thing that Jesus wanted to put his finger on, but he lacked more than one thing. In fact, I could say it to everybody in this room. Hey, you want eternal life? You're trying to work for it yourself? You lack one thing. There's one thing that you need to get right. Now, when Jesus puts his finger on the one thing, we want to make it right. We want to work on it. We want to let the Holy Spirit convict us. We want the Holy Spirit to change us. But by just changing that one thing doesn't mean we inherit the kingdom of God. Because as soon as you correct that one thing, Jesus says, oh, you know what? By the way, there's one thing. And as soon as you correct that thing, you go, oh, you know, there's one more thing. There's always one more. There's always something he's working on. So the work that he's doing to change us and transform us doesn't save us. Just helps us. Because this man was possessed by materialism. He felt that that's how he was getting into heaven. He says, oh, there's one thing that you're missing. You know, even though you've kept all these things, you need to do this. You need to break the grip of materialism. You need to sell all that you have, and you need to distribute your stuff to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And the rich young ruler said, I can't do that. Because he loved his stuff. And it's okay to have stuff. It's just not okay for stuff to have you. It's okay to have possessions, but it's not good for possessions to possess you. So he thought one of the marks of me being good enough for God, because this was the thinking of Pharisees, one of the marks for me being good enough for God is to have a lot of stuff. And Jesus actually says, no, that's not it. You need to divest yourself, break the back of materialism, and come into the kingdom of God, like I just said, like a child, with simple trust that says, Jesus, you say come, I'm coming. That's all it takes. It's not hard to come into the kingdom of God. Here's how it is. Jesus says come, and you say, yes, Lord. No, what else do I have to do? Keep all the commandments? Yeah, he's got things he's working on, but that doesn't bring you into the kingdom of God. There's always one more thing, but that's not keeping you in the kingdom of God or making you good enough for heaven. You're good enough for heaven. Why? Because you are a child of God that figures out, he says, come to me, and you say, yes. That's it. And that's the teaching here. He says, this rich man, when he turned away in great sorrow, because he was a very rich man. And so he couldn't break the back of materialism because he was very rich. And here's the very thing that Jesus is teaching, is that riches can be detrimental. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrow, he said it's very hard for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Because rich people tend to be self-sufficient. I'm self-made, I made this, I got this, I worked hard for it, it's mine. He says it's very hard for them to get into the kingdom of God. And then he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, some people say, well, that's not really what Jesus meant. Some people say, well, the word he used is like a rope. It's trying to put a rope through the eye of a needle. And that's not really. Or have maybe some of you heard this, that the ancient cities used to have a small gate, like a side entrance to the city, and that gate was called the Eye of the Needle. And that a camel could get through the Eye of the Needle because it could strip off all its stuff. The camel would get down on its knees, they strip everything, and it would go through the Eye of the Needle, except that's not true. The ancient cities did not have a gate called the Eye of the Needle. Some modern ancient cities do. That's a bad way for me to say that. Modern. Ancient cities now have a gate they call the Eye of the Needle, probably because of this story. Because people are going, what did Jesus mean? He must have meant. What Jesus was meaning is, it is humanly impossible for you to get to heaven. That's what he was saying. It would be like, and I could say this, okay, it's easier for you to get saved, it's easier for you to get into the kingdom of God than for a 747 to land on a stamp. Is that impossible? Some of you look up, I don't know, is that impossible? That's not even a trick question. Okay, let's all just come to that agreement. Could a 747 land on a stamp? The answer is no. Could you fit a camel through the eye of a needle? That's what Jesus meant. Because when the disciples heard it, they said, wow, Jesus, who in the world can be saved? That's the great question. If it's humanly, and this is what Jesus was trying to say. He was trying to say it to the rich young ruler. He's trying to say it to us. It is humanly impossible to be saved. It's humanly impossible to come into the kingdom of God. Okay, you get that, because here's a verse that's sometimes quoted not in the context, but here's the verse. Then he said to them, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. That verse is there because he just had said, eye of a needle, 747 on a stamp. People said, there's no way people can be saved. He said, you're right. Because it's not a human enterprise. Our relationship with God is not something we do. It's something we receive. It's not something we're good enough for. It's something he is good enough for. It's not what we do. It's what he's already done. And that's how we come into the kingdom of God. We come in like little children saying, wow, I'm here. Like a little kid that gets to Disney, only like a billion times better. Do you go to Disney as a kid? Anybody go to Disney as a kid? Anybody go? I went as a kid. I didn't pay. Generally, little kids don't pay. It's already paid for them. That's exactly what God is saying. Hey, we got to be childlike, because that's what the kingdom of God is like. So I would pray that you're not trying to work your way, deserve your way, because Jesus is saying, hey, it's impossible. It's like trying to fit a camel. You want to try to work your way to heaven? Try to put a camel through the eye of a needle. And when you can do that, maybe you'll make it to heaven. You can't. It's okay. Try to land a 747 on a stamp. When you can do that, maybe you can make it to heaven. No, he said, it's impossible. But with God, it is possible. So all we have to do in our lives today is put our trust in God, just like a child puts his trust or her trust in the Heavenly Father or in their natural father, and that natural father provides, that natural family provides. That's the kind of family that God wants you to be in, not by your goodness, but by his grace. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good news. Okay, that's it for today. Good. That's it. Good. So let's stand together, and we think about salvation. We think about the kingdom of God. We think about not earning our way, deserving our way, but Lord, simply coming as a trusting child. Hearing your voice, and you're saying it right now, Lord, if we could hear your voice, Jesus, you'd be saying it. Hey, let the little children, let my children come to me. Don't forbid them. Don't let anyone forbid them. But Lord, let them come. And so, God, we come to you with our childlike faith. And we thank you, God, that we don't rest in our goodness, in our riches, in our material, in our social standing. We rest in you, Lord. And it may be impossible for humanity to find salvation, but it's not impossible for you to give us salvation. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Grace and peace, everybody. God bless you.